Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. The story about the early church found in Acts begins in chapter 10, verse 34. Listen for the word of the Lord there. Then Peter, remember Peter, the one who denied Jesus, the one who said he didn't know him. Then Peter began to speak to the crowd. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears, respects him, and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. This is the word of the Lord. The story of Jesus' baptism, Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by John. John would have prevented Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. The choir sang my sermon. Thank you. It was beautiful. And the lyrics of that song, I don't know if you listened to the lyrics when you sang, but wow. The lyrics of that song said my sermon. It talked about being church, asking God to help me be in Christ. At the conclusion of today's sermon, even though they just preached it, and I think we'll be finished preaching at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. You think I'm kidding. We're going to ordain and install officers. Every year we do this. About a third of our leadership rotates off the session and off of their duties as serving as deacons. And then the congregation has elected previously a nominating committee. That nominating committee prays through our church role and thinks about the kinds of work we will need to be done in the coming year, they think. And they listen to God's Spirit and they try to follow God's finger as God calls you to serve. They put these names before you, the congregation, in the fall for a vote. You vote, they are elected, and during the fall they are oriented. And then in January, usually they are ordained and installed. We're doing it. It's part of being church. Every church, every denomination, every Christian body has some way of doing this, electing or appointing people to serve as leaders. The people you've elected and called are imperfect. You already know that. They're imperfect sinners, actually. Just like us, just like me, just like all of us. Save for the grace of God, every person called out is perfectly unworthy. They're not called because of their worthiness, they're called because of God's worthiness and because of what God will do through them. They are not able, but they are equipped by God to serve. They are collectors of stamps. They are car enthusiasts. They have certain gifts. They don't have certain other gifts. Politically speaking, they probably represent a broad spectrum of views. Some say tomato, some say tomato. I'm grateful for the saints who have gathered on this street corner, church and state, more or less since 1850, and in this very room since about 1867. The cornerstone was laid in 1867. I'm not sure when people were actually in this building, but a long time. I'm grateful for the saints who've come before us, people whose names we remember, people who we knew, but also people we did not, people who served quietly in big ways or small ways. Many of them, most of them, are gone. And here we remain, standing on the shoulders of giants. Some decades ago, a fellow named Gordon Johnson served as an elder in this church. He served two terms. He spent much of his adult life, 54 years of it, serving in this church somehow and praying for this church. He served also as a deacon. He helped lead our education program in this church. He did an innovative program about spirituality and personality, using Myers-Briggs and other personality type indicators to help us think through how people are different spiritually, but also by way of personality. He and his wife Fran taught in public schools. He collected stamps. They raised their kids here. Their son Brad kept this church from burning down. He was in the alley with friends at the park, and he saw smoke coming through the brick, called the fire department at a payphone that apparently was in this alley, which we call Doxology Way. Fire trucks came and stopped the fire. That was apparently started in the workroom, the wood shop. The family attended church dinners here. And while I have no idea about their finances, I bet you $100 that they gave their money to support a unified budget. And I would guess as well they gave above and beyond to support other projects in the church, the Christmas Eve offering, for example, or the raindrop mission collection we do in the summer. It's all part of being the church. They were members here for a long time. This is what church people do. Fran and Gordon invited their friends and fellow teachers, Betty and Gary Wiseman, to visit this church. And they didn't come immediately. Where are you, Wiseman? But they eventually came. Mal Nigren went to go see him, and they thanked him. But it was the personality and spirituality conversation the Christian education was doing that apparently got the Wisemans really excited. And they became active members here, and they greeted you this morning downstairs by the door. They became members, simply put, and I want you to hear this, because they were invited to come. And the people who invited them were persistent. They weren't nags, but they were persistent. And all four of them, the Wisemans and the Johnsons, wanted to do God's work together in this place. An ordinary story, ordinary families. It's all part of being the church. Fran got sick. Gordon stayed at home to take care of her, and then she went to nursing care, and care deacons were assigned to visit the Johnsons. Some years later, Fran died. Because Gordon, by this time, was getting much older, was not able to come to church and did not attend very infrequently and then not at all in the last years of his life, but prayed for this church, was part of this church, was visited by this church. We functioned without Gordon and Fran while they were gone, I mean, when they left. None of our new members know who I'm talking about. Some of our old members don't know. Never had the pleasure of working with and knowing and laughing with Gordon and Fran Johnson. This ebb and flow of church involvement is just the way it is. It's being part of being church. People are very active for a time. They step away to rest. They come back. They live. They die. You know, it happens. And this is part of church. It's part of who we are. It's part of why we're here, to share our lives with the community. On this past Monday, Gordon William Johnson died at Carl Hospital. And on Friday, in a steady rain, we committed his ashes to the columbarium right there, downstairs, outside. He having already joined the church triumphant with his wife, Fran. This is being church. All of it, just this ordinary story. It's part of being church. The gathering at the graveside and all the lifetime that led up to that solemn moment. This pattern of service continues with you as you carry the losses you remember, and as you sit here and as you look ahead, as you have maybe nurtured children, as you are working on friends in the community. Hey, come to First Presbyterian Church. We have one preacher who's really good, his name's Eric, and another one who's really bad, but you know, it's a great church. Come join us. Come. You're working on them. You're working on them. You're inviting them. We'll have a new kitchen soon. We'll have fried chicken and watermelon and collard greens and black-eyed peas. Come to church with us. You're working on them. The church is growing, ebb and flow. It's all part of being the church. This pattern of church continues with you, your love, your service, your above and beyond participation, your prayer, your boredom, your showing up. You sing a song in that unique voice that is yours, that your spouse may despise or the people next to you might not like much. You start singing and they turn around and look. Kind of. But it's your voice, and it's a voice that God loves and that God wants to hear. And so you offer it, you sing. You sing these hymns we sing. You have a cup of coffee and a donut downstairs. You teach Sunday school. You teach a class on the Ten Commandments. You pick up trash on church and state streets. You hug a friend suffering through a hardship, a tough time. You pray for peace in these pews. Think of how many prayers have been uttered silently from these pews for peace in this world. You weep here, you doubt here, you bring your questions to this place and your hopes and your families and your dreams, and you give and you receive, and sometimes you don't think you receive enough, but you come back. This ordinary ebb and flow has been happening in Christ's church since the first disciples first gathered. And we stand in a respected, holy, hallowed stream of saints. Like them, we worship, we marry, we bury, we baptize, we ordain, we install, we confirm, we come to committee meetings. How do we do it without committee meetings? I mean, that in the Spirit of God, you know, we're Presbyterian. We laugh with each other, we serve, we pray. And every generation hears the story of God's love over and over and over and over again. And each time somebody hears a little thing a little differently. We meet Jesus on the waters of the Jordan. We watch him get baptized. We hear John say, "I'm not worthy to do this." We hear Jesus say, "Do it anyway." Jesus is baptized. We hear the heavens rip open. We see the dove descend. We hear the voice of God, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Mark's gospel adds this line, "Listen to him." The banks of that river have always been a gathering place for the church. Johnny Cash wrote this, "And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of the Jordan, and I'll be sitting, drawing pictures in the sand, And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout, reaching for your hand. We've been to this place before. We have sat at the feet of Peter and listened to that sermon. Oh, what a sermon it was. Peter tells the church, or tells the early church, the story of Jesus in such a straightforward way. There's no long sermon. His sermon took less time than mine do. His sermon could have been the church's first PowerPoint. Number one, God shows no partiality. Number two, God loves those who are faithful. Number three, God sent Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth at his baptism with power. Jesus healed and spent his life doing good. God was with Jesus. We disciples saw this. Jealous people crucified Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. Jesus appears to the disciples. Jesus commands us to share good news. Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Jesus redeems the living and the dead. We nod. We nod and we say, thanks be to God. Sometimes we mean it, thanks be to God. And we ask, oh God, how can you use me to serve in this place, in this world, in my job, in my family? How? Oh God, open me, as this song said, open me that my heart might become an altar kindled by the flame of your Spirit. Open me, oh God. We sit next to people like Gordon Johnson in these padded pews. We serve with them. We doze with them. We laugh with them. We argue with them. We grow with them. We look up to them. And amazingly, people look up to us. We are growing in grace together. It's all part of being the church. It's just what the church is. It's just ordinary, day in, day out. Not a lot of fanfare. And that's what's happening today. It's what happened yesterday and the day before. It's going to happen tomorrow. To God's glory, we are attempting to be Christ's church in this place. Nothing more, nothing less. We are attempting to be Christ's church in this place. Thomas Merton says a Christian is a man or a woman, of course, who lives completely out of himself, out of herself, in Christ. Wow, what is that? In other words, we want to live so much for Jesus that his goals become our goals, his life becomes our life somehow, how we thereby lose our life and we gain our life most fully in him. It's complicated. It's beautiful. We've been trying to do it for a long time. And people of every generation earnestly pray to God here, asking that God bless us, that God galvanize our will, that God strengthen our hearts, that God fill us with grace, that God inspire our thinking, that God would guide our sometimes crooked steps, and that God would help us, help us, help us, help us be the church of Jesus Christ. It's not about succeeding, and it's not about being successful. It's about being faithful. And I am so glad, friends, to be sharing this journey with you. This tiring, this boring, this exciting journey with you. As together we strive to be the church of Jesus Christ. May God help us. May God help us.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.